current events, developing stories,
tough questions,
your voice making a difference.
This is Breakfast with Bongani Bingwa.
Every now and again, somebody will do something so admirable, so impactful, it really makes you pause and reflect on your own life and values. One such a moment came from me when I was scrolling through my Instagram. Listen to this. It seems simple enough, right? When you get married, your surname will change if you're a woman. But actually, who made that rule? It's a centuries-old tradition, which comes from a time when marriage meant that a woman would come under her husband's protection and authority, hence the need to adopt his name. But why do we still need to do it today then? Why, for example, can a husband not adopt his wife's name? What might that do for changing perceptions about gender norms and values? Our next guest is Dr. Alexander Abedian Rohani, who, of course, has done exactly the same thing, but it proved far more challenging than he thought it would be initially. Appreciate your time. Thank you so much for talking to us this morning.
Good morning. I'm going to call you Uncle Bongani, seeing that that's what the kids call you.
Listen, I was scrolling through my Instagram yesterday, and you put up a post about this experience and this decision that you took. What prompted the idea?
Well, I've created quite a stir. I think just the comments are actually the most interesting thing now. You know, it goes back to my wife and I, when we were dating and once we got engaged, we used to discuss this concept and how would we be able to create a marriage where even on the surface, just to those looking on who didn't actually know us and the depth of our relationship, etc., how would we be able to create a marriage rooted in gender equality? And this is on the surface one of the ways we felt was important to do it, because why should she only take my surname or why should I only take hers? It's not an ownership thing, as you introduced. Obviously, marriage is founded on equality, I feel, have way more of a strength and foundation to them and set way better examples for future society. So this was the history of the decision. Obviously, only on the day we got married, when we had to sign the marriage certificate, I learned that I was not able to change my surname.
Really?
And I started, only on that day, because we didn't know. She signed it.
Why couldn't you?
Well, because they said, no, you that's not going to be acceptable on the home affairs form. And I said, what do you mean? They said, no, well, she's able to change it, but yours doesn't change. You have to go through the legal system if you want to change yours. And I said, why? And I think for me in general, if an answer is rooted in irrationality or injustice, I always challenge and question it. I don't ever leave these things.
So you took home affairs on?
Yeah, and so I began that journey. And it was interesting. I had to go to, I almost had about 12 forms I had to give, mom's ID, dad's ID, my birth certificates. I had to change all of those things from the beginning. Whereas for the women, it's assumed almost that she does. And so we'd question this and be like, well, this is obviously, as in my opinion, I agree with you correctly put, it comes from a time where women would come under the wing of protection of a man. I don't know. There's also
they were deemed property. That's essentially what it is. It's the same reason,
and
for example.
And the harsh reality of that, Bongani, is that that still flows through in so many of the comments that I see today from men. The toxic masculinity is rooted in patriarchy. I'm getting comments saying like, you have no pride in yourself as a man, or men are becoming weaker and weaker every day. I mean, if we want examples of strength, we have to actually look to our women. The way women have to jump through a million more hoops than men do just to get to the same point because of what men did to society.
Yeah, yeah.
We can't associate weakness with women, and that's what men are doing, which is terrible.
It comes, of course, from a time when women when other humans could be considered the property of someone else. So it's the same reason, for example, during slavery, the slaves would adopt the name of the master. It's a similar kind of thinking.
Terrible.
So just getting back to where we are now, If someone listening to us now wanted to do, say, what you did, would they face similar hurdles, or has your action set the precedent?
I don't think so. Firstly, I mean, I don't think I'm the first person to do this. I just don't have Home Affairs stats. I just know it was something difficult. But I know in the end, you need to go to Home Affairs. You need to go and do official name change forms. You need to do affidavits from the police. Oh, I forgot to add that in my post. You have to go to the police, do affidavits, bring your marriage certificate, bring name change forms. Hope they don't lose your forms like they did for mine. And be patient and go through the system. And I think oftentimes we don't want to do things like this because they're very laborious. But there's a bigger purpose at play. And this concept of gender equality that I've grown up with, I've had a lot of very strong women in my family who've set this beautiful example. You do it for that. You do it for that reason, to start dialogue and discourse like this. And for us to actually see, why do we think what we think? And why are we allowing what we've allowed for so long?
One more question for you. What name will your kids adopt, should you have some in future?
I mean, they would grow up as Abedi and Rohani, as mom and dad together. And then I guess should the day come when they want to get married, imagine they marry someone with a double barrel surname also. It will be between both partners, what they choose to do and what they feel is an example of theirs. So, yeah.
I think it's absolutely fantastic. I think it's absolutely admirable. And strength to you and your wife. And disregard the comments, because I think you've sent out a powerful signal. And hopefully it's the kind of change that we need in terms of just understanding who we are as a society. And it's exactly what 30 years of democracy and freedom, I think, should mean in South Africa. Dr. Alexander Abedian Rohani, who is also a cosmetic dentist, does incredible philanthropic work, by the way, for underprivileged people. You may know him as Dr. Smile. He's a hip-hop artist and clearly a man of the times.